this Sunday is the last Sunday before the end of our Minister John's sabbatical. So me and Cheryl are holding it together this week, aren't we? As we have done for the past 3 months. And then John will be back next week to take over. And we can have like loads of holiday and that'll be great. It's a funny time of year because for many of us, it's a kind of winding down time. If we've finished school, hands off anyone still going to school now? Oh, excellent. Just one person. That's sad. Oh. But for most of us, it's the holidays. For me, it's the busiest time of year. So I'm away from next Saturday to the following Saturday with 100 young people on the Isle of Wight. Then Holiday Club starts the next day. And then Soul Survivor with 10,000 young people starts the same day that Holiday Club finishes. So it's a pretty busy 3 weeks for me, but it's going to be really, really exciting, really, really fantastic time. And please do pray for our young people who are going to be part of those events, and for our adult leaders who are going to be part of those events, for those of us having to grow beards to look like Vikings, and those of us who've grown beards out of choice, which is interesting. Thanks for the support on that, guys. That's great. So please do hold us up in prayer throughout the summer, and also as we try and recover after those things as well. Today we're going to look at one story from the book of Matthew, one short parable, which I will read for you. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. And it says this: Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." That's the whole story. It's not particularly long or complicated, but I can do a very long and complicated sermon on it. So you're in for a treat. But before we get onto that, I want to show you a poster. Can someone come and hold my poster for me? Come on, Gracie. Okay. About 2 years ago, I was reading the internet, and it was very exciting. You can hold that poster up. I'm not sure which way around it goes. And there's this a film had just been announced, which was called Guardians of the Galaxy, which the name enough was enough to get me excited, even though I didn't really know what it was about. And when I read that it was about a talking raccoon and a tree monster trying to save space, I thought, that's going to be the best film ever. And so I watched the trailers, and I read the casting news, and I found out all about this film. I was really excited about it. And then I realised that it's not released till next Friday, which is pretty much exactly when my busiest time of the year starts and I'll have no time to go to the cinema. And I was going, oh no, waited 2 years to go and see this film and I'm not going to be able to see my talking raccoon with a big gun. And I was really sad. Gracie, don't look at me like that. I was really sad. And then I saw in the Comet an advert and it said, special preview screening, Guardians of the Galaxy, British premiere tickets. Okay, thanks, Gracie. And so I entered the competition, and because no one reads the Comet, I won the competition, and it was great. And so I got 5 tickets to go and see not just the film, but go see it a week before most people in the rest of the world gets to see it. Go see it on a special red carpet all the way through Stevenage Cinema, which is not particularly glamorous, on their new big IMAX screen. And I thought, yes, excellent. And then I looked in my diary, and I realised I couldn't go because I already had a meeting. It was very sad. So what I did was, because I really wanted to go see this film, was I talked to everyone who was supposed to be at that meeting, which is actually a Viking rehearsal for Holiday Club, and I managed to persuade them that they didn't really need to enjoy their Friday night, and we'll move our rehearsal to Friday night. And thankfully, they were all very gracious, and we managed to do our rehearsal Friday night, which freed me up to go and see the best film ever. There it is. Look how... yeah. And it really was a fantastic film. It was great. It was on a huge big screen. It's a really funny film. Lots of action, lots of excitement. It lived up to my wildest dreams. It kind of got about halfway to being an okay dream for Sarah. But the rest of them, it was a really good time. And we got a free bag of minstrels for going as well. So, yeah, I know. Even better than that. So, because I had been anticipating this, because I'd been waiting for this, I'd been searching for this film for so long, I did what I had to do. To be able to go and see it. You can't keep that, I'm afraid. Thank you, Gracie. You can sit down. And that's a bit like the man in the story, okay? He's looking for pearls, and when he found it, he gave up everything he had to take that pearl. And when I found that Guardians of the Galaxy was on, I did all I could to try and see it. So we're going to play a little game about how much things cost. So hidden around the church are pieces of paper that, if you look in front of you, underneath the chair, there might be a picture. Okay. Could I have a volunteer to run and find a picture, first of all? Have any children already got one? All right, okay. Alice, do you want to come up with yours first? Okay, so I did some looking on eBay, on the internet shops, and I found some products. And each one is worth some money. Okay, hold it up, what have we got? Okay, let's see. Okay, so this one is a Luke Skywalker Star Wars action figure. And I want you to have a guess at how much it's going to cost. Can you read out the numbers on there? So, what is it? A is?
£19.99.
B is?
£199.
And C is?
£1,999.
Brilliant. Okay, so the choices for a Luke Skywalker action figure, about this big, £1,999, £199, £1,999. Originally, it would have cost just under a pound. How much is it worth 20 years later on? Put your hand up if you think it's A, £19.99. Few. Hand up if you think it's B, £199. Okay, and hands up for £1,999. That is the correct answer. So, if you had a Luke Skywalker action figure in the 80s, you shouldn't have played with it. You should have kept it, and you could have bought a car instead. Okay, thanks, Alice. You can keep the piece of paper if you like. Okay, Ella, what's your picture of? Okay, it's a table. Solid pine table suitable for home or office use. Okay, show them the picture. There it is, solid pine table. Okay, can you read out the numbers?
A 1,000, B £100, C £1.
Okay, so A 1,000, B £100, C £1 for a solid pine table suitable for home or office use. A, who votes for A? Who votes for B? Who votes for C? It is exactly C, 1 pence. Get on eBay if you need a table for your home or office. Thank you. Can you sit down? Who else has got one? 1 penny for a table. That is good value. All right, we've got a queue forming. That's great. Okay. Are you William or Joshua?
Joshua.
Hello, Joshua. And what's your picture of? A house. Okay, in fact, it's not just a house. It's an elegant period farmhouse in the Scottish Borders with a 10-acre garden. So, the amounts are... I'll do it. 150,000, 450,000, 750,000. How much for the elegant farmhouse? Okay, so A, 150,000. Okay, B, 450,000. C, 750,000. The correct answer is... B, 450,000 for a 10, I didn't say, it's an 8-bedroom house with a 10-acre garden. So if you wanted to move to Scotland, you could live in a really big house rather than a... Thank you, Joshua. Off you go. Okay, Gracie's back. What have you got? All right, hold it up for the people to see. It is a gold engagement ring. And the numbers are...
A, 1399. B,
£139.99, or C, £1,399.99. Okay, so £1,399.99. Anyone for £13.99? Okay. £139.99. Thank you. The correct answer is £13.99. So it probably just is a bit of blue Lego that they've squished on top of the ring. Okay, if you want to sit down again, Josh has got something. Let's see. Okay. You don't get to keep the head on this one, unfortunately. Luxury extra warm ski hat. It's a black ski hat. Okay, and the prices are?
A, £5.95, B, £9.95, C, £995.
Extra warm black ski hat. Head not included. Okay, so A, 5.95. Anyone for 5.95? Well, that's quite popular. B, 9.95. C, 9.95. The correct answer is C, 9.95. Now, if you look at this picture afterwards, it looks like a ski hat. That's all. It doesn't look anything special at all. It's just a black ski hat. There you go. Okay, but if you've got £1,000 to spare and you want to buy a bobble hat, then that's the one to get. Okay, there should be at least one more, I think. Okay. There should be one more after that, if anyone's found that. All right. Daniel, what have you got?
A Bugatti Veyron thingy.
That's it. A Bugatti Veyron Racing Standard. Hold up the picture. There it is. It's quite a shiny car. Let's see the costs. Can you work
A,
out?
A, £3.50. B, £350,000. C, £1,350,000.
Okay, so A, £3.50.
Is it a more awful size?
The advert says Bugatti Veyron Racing Standard. No commas or anything. That's all it said. Didn't even have capital letters. I wouldn't buy it on for that reason. Okay, £3.50 for the Bugatti Veyron Racing Standard. £350,000. £1,350,000. Correct answer is £3.50. It is, because it is just a picture of it. But it doesn't say that on the advert, okay? So, thanks, you can keep the picture. It's worth £3.50, that picture. It's a little bit tricky, but it comes up, you search for Bugatti Veyron, and that's what you get. It's good value. Has anyone found the other picture? There's one more. Okay, brilliant. Fantastic. That is great. Okay. This one is officially called a Mayan-style luxury fountain pen, because the Mayans used fountain pens, obviously. Do you want me to read the numbers? Or?
Go on.
Okay. Oh, no. A, £80,840. B, £840. C, £480. So obviously Mayan pens are quite expensive. But how expensive are they? Who votes for A, 80,000? B, 840? C, 480? Correct answer is A, £80,840 for a fountain pen. Don't take it to school, because it will get lost and broken. It is made from solid gold and cut with diamonds, but it didn't say that on the headline. So what does that show us? That's an interesting question. What that shows us is that different people value different things differently. Now, most of us, I suspect, wouldn't pay £2,000 for a Luke Skywalker action figure, or £80,000 for a fountain pen, or £1,000 for a black hat. But many of us will value different things in different ways. And what this parable is all about is about what is really valuable. What is the thing that's really worthwhile? What is it that's worth our effort, worth our time, worth all of our life? Let me tell you a romantic story to start with, about the first time I ever kissed my wife. Right? Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? 17 years ago, this happened, before some of you were even born. And basically, I'd fancied her for a long time, and I thought she fancied me, and I decided just to go for it. And decided that we were going to kiss, not whether she liked it or not. Hopefully she was going to like it. I was about to say that. But the barriers that were there were not going to stop us kissing. And there were some barriers. First of all, we were sat in the back of my mum's car. I decided that's not going to bother me. My mum was driving the car at the time, and my sister was sat in the other front seat. So it was a bit of a crowded situation, because it was a mini. So me and Sarah were sat in the back. Those things, I decided, that's not going to stop me. The fact that I had eaten mushy peas for tea, and that Sarah didn't like mushy peas, that wasn't going to stop me. We still got to kiss, didn't we, Sarah? Yay. But somehow that worked. Those barriers didn't stop me having my first kiss with the girl I fancied, who became my wife, and still 17 years later, still loves me. Not so much after telling the story. But I knew what I wanted, and I knew that, regardless of whether my mum was looking in the back mirror or not, it was still going to happen. And this is what this is about. It's about someone searching for the thing that they've been looking for, finding it, and doing everything they can to grab hold of it with both hands. So it's a parable, first of all. Let's understand what it is. It's a story that Jesus told. It's not something that actually happened, although similar things may have happened. He's saying a story that's symbolic, a story that means something else, as well as just the thing that happens. And it comes as part of a whole series of those stories. So the whole of Matthew chapter 13 are different stories that Jesus told about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, which he uses either way around. And he tells these stories because he wants to entertain the people he's talking to. He wants to teach them things, and he wants to challenge them. And this parable does all of that, I think. So what's it about? It's about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not a particular place. So it's not like God has said, if you move to this bit, you will be in the kingdom of God. So like if you move to Hitchin, you're in the kingdom of God. Move to Stevenage, you're not. Although some people might say that anyway. It's not a particular time either, or a particular people. It's about a situation. The rule of God is always over everything and everyone and every place. Evil and sin keeps appearing, but God still rules. And eventually all things will submit to his rule. So we have the option in our lives, all the time really, to decide whether we're going to submit and be part of the kingdom of God, or whether we're going to choose to live apart from that kingdom. So every situation we're in, every choice we make, either we're choosing to follow God's way or not God's way. And at the time, Jesus was talking to a particular audience. And in that audience, there were really two groups of people. There were the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the people who made the law, the rich people who felt they were above everyone else, the Jewish people who felt like this land is ours and God belongs to us. And because we're good people, because God has blessed us with wealth, we are in the right. And then there was everybody else, the sinful people, the foreigners who were living in the country but not very welcome, the poor people, those who were ill, those who had jobs that were frowned upon, the sinful people. Jesus was talking to both of these groups, and he wanted to illustrate the kingdom of God to both of those groups and to us today. So what does it mean? Well, I think there's actually two ways to understand what it means. With some of Jesus' story, it's easy to understand what it means because he actually tells you what it means. For example, the parable of the sower, where the guy goes along with the seeds and some fall on the path and some get eaten by birds. In the next bit down after that, Jesus says, the birds represent this, the weeds represent this, the seeds represent this. With this story, he just tells it and he leaves it out there for you to work out what it means. He wants to challenge you to think about it for yourself. Well, I've thought about it, so I'll just tell you. That's fine. One way to look at it is that the kingdom of heaven is what we're searching for. So we are the merchant, and the pearl of great price that we find is the kingdom of heaven, is Jesus. Okay, so we're the person who's searching, and we find Jesus. The other way around is that we are the pearl, and Jesus is the searcher. So Jesus goes out to seek us and finds us and gives everything he has for us. So we're going to think about the story both ways round. Okay, hopefully it won't be too complicated. So the first way around. We'll do the other one first. If Jesus is searching, then what does that say about us? If we're the pearl of great price, what does that say about you? What it says is that you are valuable, you are important, you have worth, you deserve to be saved from inside an oyster. That's a pretty big claim. It relates to other stories about Jesus too. The lost sheep, where Jesus is the shepherd, and one of the sheep wanders off and he leaves the other sheep. He brings that sheep back to where it's supposed to go. We know Jesus is someone who goes out and seeks the lost. And so here he is seeking us a pearl. And then what does he do when he finds a pearl of great worth? He gives up everything he has to have that pearl. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He gave up a life in heaven. He gave up contact with his Father God. He gave up his body. He gave up his life for us. So the message that way around is that we are valuable. We are important people. Jesus knows it and wants us to know it too. The other way around is slightly different, isn't it? We're the person who's out searching. And maybe we can think about this in terms of our lives. In our lives, In people's lives, we search for things. We try and find purpose for our life. We try and find meaning. We try and find hope and security and love. And sometimes we do that by taking the bad pills, by finding the wrong route, by trying to gain more money or more power, by being selfish, by being vain. And we face the consequences of those choices too, in pride or arrogance or addiction or many other things. But after all that searching, when we find the one pearl, the great pearl, everything else pales in comparison. The pearl of Jesus, life in Jesus, and nothing compares to that experience. Nothing compares to what Jesus offers us. He offers us all that we seek and much more. So the message there is that nothing has more value than knowing Jesus. So, on one hand, we are really valuable. And on the other hand, Jesus is even more valuable. I recently started playing American football again after a break. And it's a new team that started in Welling and they're practicing on Saturday mornings. And it seemed to fit into our schedule really well. And in fact, it was great because I was one of the more experienced players. And I could help other people. I could be a bit of a coach as well. And when I was growing up, I had a lot of coordination difficulties. So I'd never really been very good at catching, never been really too good at most sports. And so having discovered American football that I was good at it, that was great. And then I gave it up when we moved here, and I could restart. And not only was I good at it, but I was able to help other people be good at it too. But then I've discovered that in September, they're going to move to a Sunday morning training session, which is not ideal for me. So 10 till 12, I thought I'm probably quite busy at that time. And I'm going to have to give up playing football. So it's something that I've really enjoyed, something that I've benefits me and benefits other people. But I'm going to have to give that up because I've found a pearl of more importance than just sport. So when I was talking to the coach about it, he was like, we thought about changing jobs. We thought about maybe you could change shifts and do Sunday evening instead. And I was thinking, well, it's not really what it's about. You know, this pearl is something significant. This is something really important to me. And I think he was quite impressed from the way he was talking that I was willing to give up something that I was passionate about for something that I was really passionate about, something that changes my life. And that's kind of how it works. If we can grasp how valuable our faith in Jesus is, then it changes the way we live. It changes the choices we make. It changes the things that are important to us. And likewise, if we can grasp how valuable we are, how much worth we have, then it changes the way we live too. So if we think about what difference it makes, let's think about the difference it made to the audience Jesus spoke to originally. When Jesus told the story, he wanted to do a few different things. He wanted to confront the Jewish leaders and say that your comfortable lifestyles are just not on. You need to help the poor. You need to think less highly of yourself. And you need to share your God. And he wanted to encourage the sinful. He wanted to say, you have value. You are loved and God wants you. And for us today, it's exactly the same message. Jesus wants us to be challenged in our comfortable lifestyles. It's interesting, I was reflecting on this with one of my friends during the week, that Jesus in the Gospels never speaks about homosexuality, but talks about poverty over 50 times. And what does the church spend more time talking about? It's an interesting one, isn't it? And we think about poverty and we think that it happens to other people. But how much of our comfort are we willing to give up to really help others? How much of our comfort are we willing to give up to accept the great value of Jesus in our lives? We need to think less highly of ourselves. We are sinful people. We've all done things wrong. We're no better than anybody else. The only difference between us and other people is that we have met Jesus. We have seen his value, and we should know not to place too high a value on ourselves, on what we want, or what we think we deserve. Jesus deserves it all. And because we're giving it all to Jesus, we can give it equally to other people. Share your God. For the Jewish people at the time, they had this idea that they were God's chosen people, that the land of Israel was their land and it was God's land, and everywhere else was just not worth it. What he wants to say to us today is don't keep God bottled up at church. Jesus is with you wherever you go, whatever you do, in every situation. At work, with your family, wherever you are, he's there. Know that. Know that he is with you in that situation and find ways to help other people realize that truth too. So Jesus wanted to challenge us, but he also wanted to encourage us. To encourage us that we are sinful people, but we are of great value. God made you. He made you a certain way, with a certain personality, with certain interests and certain skills. He made you and he loves you the way you are. He values you and wants you to thrive. He wants you to use the interests and the gifts that he's given you to do the things you love, to use the talents that you've been given, and do it all to bring glory to his name. He wants you to know that you're loved. God loves you. You might not believe it. You might not want to let that change your life. But he does love you, and he loves you more than you can ever really comprehend. He loves you so much that he's willing to give up everything he had to bring you to God. He wants you to know that God wants you. You're created by God, you're loved by God, and God wants you. He seeks us out. He comes to find us. We just need to accept his invitation. An invitation to receive his love and to share that love with others. An invitation to put our lives under his control and to live in God's kingdom wherever we find ourselves. So may you realise that God has searched for you because he loves you. May you know that your true value is found in him. And may you value Jesus above all other things, letting him lead you and love you throughout the whole of your life.